This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV. The destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Always on the run! Until next week. Until the mid season finale.
Welcome to the Blacklist After Buzz After Show.
Fall finale. My bad.
I'm Joe Braswell. I'm joined as always. Well, not as always. I'm joined by occasional host, Joe Sanfilippo.
Nice to be here with you guys.
How you doing, Joe?
Oh, living the dream, brother.
Not joined by the lovely Julia Carely.
No.
On assignment.
In New York City.
New York City.
Get a rope.
That's right. That's for us old guys.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, so that's what's happening. She's in New York. She's going to call in, but it got really cold. She has to dip outside and be in the freezing cold. I don't want her to be cold.
No, we live in California. Anything below 50 is unacceptable.
Yes. But we are a little late, guys. We appreciate you for hanging in with us. We weren't able to tape the show on Friday, but we're putting it up now. Wanted to get to a chance to just recap this wonderful episode of Zal bin Hassan, who was three people. We thought he was one guy, and then he was another guy, and then he was really... The other guy.
Samir's brother.
That's right. And another double secret twist.
Shaheen. Oh, it's serious
in
business.
In a season full of twists and turns.
Yes.
You know, Julie and I talked about before, every episode of this season is very much, each plot has a twist and then another twist and then another twist. It's a lot to do with mistaken identity of the Blacklisters, right? It's like, the djinn is not the djinn. She's the other djinn. But that djinn's not really the djinn. It's really this djinn.
Psych-bone.
And he's a dude. You know, there's all that. There's all that.
The djinn's a housewife? This makes no sense at all.
Yes. And so we have a similar thing here. Like this episode, we got a lot of Tom and Cooper. Play for a little bit of humor. Play with a little wink.
Yeah. Tom had some fun.
Tom had a little wink, a little scallion in him. Little scoundrel.
Which
little
made
Han Solo.
Which made our friend Lennox. You know, he was had a role with it.
Yes. So we had that, and you know, as he played the straight man. I've
obviously.
That.
I'll take a coffee.
Actually,
too.
Not much of red in this episode. This was a very redless episode. Last week we had a Lizzie, or 2 weeks ago we had a Lizzie-less episode.
This was red light.
This is red light. So you know, which was interesting. But we did get the idea of red. Trying to find the famous Zal bin Hassan in order to deliver him to
Gallego,
the restaurateur who makes fabulous peach bellinis.
Yes,
in order for a piece of information that's going to exonerate Lizzie Keene, allegedly.
Allegedly.
Also, on the other side of that, you have the very 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 loyal Tom Keene, who's gone through hell and back to bring back Karakut.
Yes.
Back into the garage of Harold Cooper and a very upset Mrs. Cooper.
She was not happy. What was going on with the neighbor? Do you know what the deal was with the neighbor?
I don't remember the neighbor.
There was some stuff. I don't remember what it was.
Do you guys know?
Tell us what I forgot.
Did we miss something or is this foreshadowing or do
maybe
we miss a storyline that I'm not remembering? Because
because it looked like there was some situation going on.
You know, I wouldn't come here if I didn't need
right?
to.
Right? Did somebody have a little neighborly action? I don't know. It certainly smelled that way.
Yes. He's like,
What did we forget?
I need to borrow your... Never mind.
Yeah, and a cup of sugar.
And a cup of sugar, yes. So maybe she's been giving him a cup of sugar.
Uh-oh.
I don't remember. Terrible. I don't know if I know that. So there's that. Then we have all this business between Samir and... and
the brother,
and the brother, and also this Mossad agent,
yes,
who is played
Levi
by
Shure, who is so, the character's name was Levi Shure, and the actor,
is Oded Fehr, I believe his name is Oded Fehr, who's played a Mossad agent like about four or five times. At least two or three.
He's played everything Middle Eastern you can play.
And he's amazing, though.
He's so good.
He is a Mossad agent in that Covert Affairs, that USA show.
Yeah.
And he's got this sort of dashing, sort of like, I'm the super good looking, I'm the weird, like, Elvis of, Elvis of Israeli spies.
Well, it's like that cool, you know, there's that cool thing that happens if you can get a Middle Eastern character that has like a European flair.
Yeah. It's Israeli, first of all.
Yeah. And that, obviously.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
That gives it that nice cool flair. It was great. He did a great job.
He's always a good sort of Israeli cat who's coming in to be the swashbuckling Mossad agent.
We happen to have the grenades with us.
Yes, he's great. And turns out another twist, a bit of a love interest in the past.
Yeah.
And another twist.
Big twist.
He was shot. But didn't die.
No, I didn't think. I thought you were going to talk about our boy wrestler and
we'll
maybe
get to that.
I know.
I want
to
get to that.
Because he got to that.
Yeah, that was a twist. That was a super twist. The first thing I said out loud at the screen was two words. Poor Aram.
Yeah, right?
Aram is not going to be happy.
He was crying.
Oh.
Gosh, she's alive.
But when Aram finds out the wrestler is hitting...
It's all bad.
...is hitting the tank tops.
All bad.
Like, that is going to be bad. By the way, our girl Samir Navabi also, as Julia loves to point out, rocking the tank top.
Mm-hmm.
In a very good way. So let's just get into this. So we first see... I want to just break down the whole Tom Cooper and Karakoot thing, because that reminded me very much of something about that, the way it was played and the humor on that reminded me of the Bonnie situation in Pulp Fiction.
Totally.
Same, right?
Does it say? Yeah.
The same kind of like thing.
Totally.
And he's in there and he's like ringing the doorbell and he's like, how you doing? He's like, what are you doing in here?
No, this episode had a couple of things like that. Had
honey, who's
had
at the door? Nobody! Give me a cup of coffee. I want a cup of coffee.
Oh, bad.
It was fun. I like it.
It was fun. And it felt very much like Pulp Fiction. And then at that last scene where Liz, the Lizzie's last scene where she's looking at that what do you call him?
Baby?
No. What do you call you have a thing for doughy white guy?
Yes.
Isn't that what you call him? Doughy white guy?
Yes. Well,
she was looking at the doughy white guy in the, I'd say
that's
that
not,
you
coined doughy.
You did.
At the
coffee shop and she's kind of making eyes at him. She had the reverse swingers moment.
I may or may not have an ex girlfriend who loves doughy white guys.
Yeah, you definitely do
more than she loves
anyway
black guys.
But there's like the reverse swinger scene where Vince Vaughn was making the baby eyes. Remember the,
yes.
the swingers?
Yeah, and then, yeah, the reverse swinger scene. I love that. So with the Tom Cooper Karakoot thing, Tom Keen, Harold Cooper scenes, and I love that. I loved all that. Tom was very confident in those scenes, like in his swag and his torture, and his like, you know, grabbing the guy, like, you know, you need a minute, and I love the way he handled. Mrs. Cooper. I love the way he handled Mrs. Cooper. And, you know, here's another thing about The Blacklist in this particular episode, maybe The Blacklist in general, reminiscent of 24, a lot of torture.
A lot of, you know what, national security. This is how we do it.
This episode was full of torture.
Yeah.
I don't know how some torture played for humor, some torture just played for torture.
I'm not sure how the fishhook action works. I didn't do any research on it. I can't imagine it was any fun. Sure looks like it was a tracheotomy to get it out.
So what happens with the fishhook? You swallow it?
I don't know.
And then you just don't yank it out.
Just talking about it. My sphincter just... It doesn't have any fun at all.
And Mr. Solomon like, the old fishhook trick.
Well, I've had worse. Much worse. So will you.
So will you. Whoa.
That was rough.
So yeah, what do you make of the torture in this episode? Are you okay with it, or like, is this just a thing?
I just think it's funny because it's, you know, I don't know, man. I think we've gotten so far down the rabbit hole where there's so much that we kind of accept that this is okay.
Right.
And it's weird. Like, Americans, we draw the line with sex. We've talked about this on other shows. We've talked about this in general. If you talk to anybody from, let's say, Sweden or Norway, they're appalled when they come here because they watch TV and they're terrified because in their country, sex is okay on TV, but violence is not.
Right.
And so they'll edit out the violence, but they'll keep in the sex.
Right.
And the rating system is a little bit different. You can keep the sex, but no violence.
Sure.
And so when they come here, they're shocked. And it's interesting to see culturally how we've come to accept that a certain like a ridiculously high degree of violence and torture is okay on TV. We're fine with it.
No problem.
And I don't know if what the psychological ramifications are long term, but they can't be good.
No.
No.
I agree. The bit where I'll get to it in a second, but where Zalman Hassan, aka Sashin Navabi, the fake Zalman Hassan was chained to the thing, and the guy with the extra mask and the blowtorch.
Yes.
And he's like, he's singing like a full merman.
Yeah,
get in there. I need an oxygen mask.
Chronic emphysema Harry has to do all the torturing.
And it's so played for like, oh yeah, I'm torturing the hell out of him. But up, up, but up, up. Torture.
After this, I'll have an ice cream.
Take my wife, please.
Oh, it's hilarious.
So there's that. And then, the fish hook. And then, of course, Kettlecoot got it. He got upside the head with a chair.
Didn't bother me in the slightest with him, though. There's something okay with that.
You know, and plus he tried to soy himself to death.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Suicide by soy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they figured that out very quickly. I was impressed.
Yeah, I like that. I like the way they diagnosed that. Cooper diagnosed that, by the way.
Yes.
So that I love that whole sequence. I'm still confused, like, as to how that ended, because I watched it. So he had his moment with Kettlecoot. He beat the crap out of him.
He hit him with that stool.
Hit him with the stool.
And that's the standard issue metal stool from back when we were in school.
Yes.
He hit him in the head with that thing twice and bent the hell. That was, whoever did the props on that,
yeah.
Props to the props people. That was great. Like, yeah. You didn't have to show that one. At the end of it, though, you knew exactly how hard he got hit. That was pretty rad.
Exactly. Torture. And so he's doing his thing.
Occasionally, I'm good with it. Apparently,
he also offered to make him a vegan soy smoothie.
Yes, I'll help you,
which was a great line. Tom Keene, man, you know I've said it once, I've said it a thousand times. I've done a 180 on my man T.
You did
T. Keene. He's got it going on. He's got the bloody wife beater on. He's got the eye. He's got some character going on. He's cracking wise.
You remember how much grief we used to give Julia back in the day? We used to sing the song.
We didn't sing the song.
Well, that's true. I sang the song. You know what?
How's that song go?
I'm not going to do it. I don't want to wait.
Yes.
Okay, so here's what I love about what they've done with Tom. He's decided. This is my favorite thing, what they've done.
Right.
Like, before, he was kind of wishy-washy. He was all over the map. Now he's completely decided that I am 100% on Team Liz, and that's all there is to it.
Yeah.
And so that decision takes the gloves off the character. So he's just completely in now.
To that point, what did you make of his little monologue to Kettlecoot about, you know how you have a job sometimes and you go in for the money and you realize,
right?
You're
really good at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Kettlecoot said, what did he say? You know, you have to love something to excel at it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was pretty telling. I mean, I don't know. I'm having a hard... I mean, just one last time. One last time. Are we supposed to believe that after all this Tom Keene's, a.k.a. Jacob, a.k.a. everything else has been through, that he's really, like, so in love with Lizzie Keene that this is his move?
You're not drinking the Kool-Aid right now? Come on.
No, that's clearly what's happening, but I'm just not.
You're not necessarily 100% in.
It's a lot. Like, he's going through a lot, fat Lizzie Keene.
Well, that's mostly because you don't love Lizzie Keene, but he does.
That would be true.
So, yes. You know.
Okay. So we did all that, and then he gives her a buzz. I guess we're sticking with the Tom and Lizzie slash Harold slash Kettlecoot storyline here. He gives her a buzz at the old Chinese restaurant, of course. The Wing Wee, right?
Well, he wants to arrange the meeting.
Wants to arrange the meeting at Wing Wee, which clearly wasn't Wing Wee. It was
another place East. that had a red window.
Wing Wee West. But Liz, the look, I mean, I wish Julia was here, because the look on Liz's face, like, you know, hi, and she's like, to Red, it's Tom, he wants to meet, nope. And Red is such the disapproving father, I don't think that's a good idea.
You're right.
Cut to,
I'm there.
I'm here, Tom. What do you want?
Yeah. Which, you know, when you're on the run, I don't know how you sneak away. I'm not sure how sneaking away on the run goes.
Hoodie.
Done. All right. Oh, I like that, too. Like face wide open the entire meal. Yeah. But then somebody walks by. Oh, shit. Don't look. You don't have to do that anymore.
Yeah.
Anyway. But the rest of this episode, by the way,
Tell me about that scene, Joe.
You know what? Here's the thing. I like the cut. I like the way they shot that. I liked everything about it. We just don't love Lizzie Keene. That's all there is to it. So
I didn't really like Tom in that scene either. I thought the whole thing about like some operative I am
talking at a the small stone talk. Wall.
Some operative I am. I didn't recognize my own wife. How you doing?
Anyway,
wow, you're stunning.
Hard. But
so I've got Kerakut.
The rest of this episode, in my opinion, best one this season.
Cracker to the Jack. Cracker Jack episode again. I liked it. So, speaking of which, let's go back to. I want to get into the whole the director and director versus wrestler
versus wrestler.
Yeah, and
our boy Aram taking sweater vest down.
Yeah, he was really on sweater vest, and before he was on sweater vest, I love another good Aram episode. He had that great scene where he was like, "Of course, we're going to help you get your brother. We are going to help her, right?"
Yeah,
I love that bit, and I also love a bit like Aram sort of going rogue and his like weird excitement of like, "It's highly illegal sweater vest."
You know, it was great.
I went around his firewall.
I love that the whole thing was predicated on when we were at MIT, he shit on me. So,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
That's it. That's where it starts.
And I love, never talk to me.
I love it.
Yeah, so that was cool. It was cool to see. It's cool to see Wrestler really be on the side of, like, you know, he's the director's full of shit. It's kind of cool, even though it appears to be over. The director versus Wrestler in the Office as sort of office politics, workplace drama is another show I'd watch.
No, it was well done.
I'd watch a whole season of like the director versus Wrestler around the post office. Like I like the idea of that.
And it's not done either. They're I mean, it's done, but it's not done because that whole thing still needs to come to an end.
And how about my chick Jane Fonda looking chick? The chairman is what
she was hard.
Yeah,
you have to. What'd she say? 5:31 to get out of the building. Is that what she?
Yeah, and before that, she was going to put her grandfather or something on her
private. I didn't quite get that. My grandfather's Ishmael on your. I didn't get it.
I don't know what that is. Could someone help us with that? I don't know what that.
What is your grandfather's Ishmael?
But it sounded painful.
Whatever it was, it couldn't have been. It was not going to be like a lotion. It wasn't going to be an oil of some sort.
To me,
no.
And I love the sister, the assistant deputy director, the black lady in the back. She's got Flavor Flav in the background. Like, yeah.
You know what time it is.
Tell her, director. I don't approve of you, director. Yeah, she doesn't approve of you.
Now what? What? Nothing.
You might have to leave the facilities. Yeah, leave the facility. No. Anyway.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
I think we need to get into this whole scene with the Israeli, with Mossad and FBI cooperation. Do you think that in real life it's that casual? Like, our building's right around the corner. You guys just want to crash there?
Yeah, that's a great idea. Well, the other thing is, we still haven't gotten to the bottom of this whole, like, Iranian-born...
Yet works for Mossad.
Turned Mossad, turned CIA.
So is the deal... So I would imagine, right? So the deal was that the revolution...
Tank top wearing. Yes.
Hot. There you go.
Hot.
So here's the question. So if she was born in Iran and she was her parents were assassinated by the regime, I'm guessing, right? Because then Zal bin Hassan, Shaheen, her brother, has said they at the end, right, they deserved it. They had it coming. So obviously they were not revolutionary enough for the Iranian government, which, by the way, most of the people, if you meet somebody Iranian in California, the odds are that their parents left because they were not particularly revolutionary either.
That's right.
So that's how come they got killed. So maybe her moving to Israel eventually totally made sense. Maybe that was the deal. And were they Jewish or were they Muslim? I don't think that was discussed.
I don't think that's discussed either.
So was she Jewish living in Iran? That could not have been easy at that time. Yeah. I don't even know if that was tolerated.
But how did she get to the CIA? Then the FBI. Was she CIA then FBI?
Well, she was Mossad to CIA, but that was like a loan out, wasn't it?
Right.
And then somehow or another onto the task force.
I'll take it.
Yeah, we just have to move with it. I think there was an explanation two seasons ago or season and a half ago, but I don't remember.
So we have that whole thing. A lot going on in there. So I do like the cooperation. I do, like I said, I love my man showing up, and I like that he's got the special grenade ordnance. that he's not supposed to have, that wrestler doesn't care. I thought that was a very cool firefight. They went in there and got
that. That was good, huh?
It was a legit firefight.
Yeah, with
Lester like got him 2 o'clock. Like, that was legit for network television.
Absolutely.
The Blacklist has got some solid stuff going on action wise. Everyone's got some good action, you know, well choreographed action sequences. So there was that. What else happened here? Oh, you know what? My computer's going to die. I'm going to take 1 second, guys, to say hello to all you folks on YouTube and iTunes. Thank you for joining us. We're sorry we're a little late. I want to give some shout-outs before my computer dies here. Jason Clark, Joseph Hampton Jr., Kids, the 2300, Mahogany 1985, of course, Jasmine Delight. Thank you. I know. We're here now. She's mad because we were late, but we're here. FS Church Musician, Francis Cullett, Newsby Bird, Saw 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 × 8, Big Odini, Bam Penny, Rike Russ, Slap Pappy, Michael Jones, myself and Tom, Tub of Butter, Colin, William Francis, It's Really Flying Mouse, and Real Toy Reviews. Thank you very much, guys. Thank you for checking this out. Thank you for listening and watching. And sorry we are late. I'm going to get that in before my computer died. So, so firefight happens. They capture everyone there. They figure out what's going on. Meanwhile, Red is on the hunt is super on the hunt for Zal Ben Hassan for his own reasons. He gets that lead. He kidnaps a guy who claims to be Zal Ben Hassan. Turns out that it's not Zal Ben Hassan because there's no burns
right
him yet.
Well, from the bombing in Brazil,
but clearly gas mask dude gave him some burns.
Messed him up pretty good.
Yeah, and then so it turns out the brother is not only alive, who's there, Sashin Nababi, but he is actually, in fact, Zal Ben Hassan himself in a super twist. What did you think of that twist?
I got to be honest with you.
I
saw it coming.
When did you see it?
When he first came on screen.
You're like Zal Ben Hassan. He has Zal Ben Hassan written all over his face.
Let me see his back. I had to call it to my wife. I said, that's him. That's okay. The guy. But it was
you're profiling.
I did. I'm not gonna lie. No, that was he. It struck me as because he, you know, here's my thought. I thought you've been in custody for 6 months.
Yeah.
But your beard is perfectly trimmed.
Yeah.
Now you have to trim your beard.
Oh.
I have to trim my beard.
Yeah. I haven't trimmed my beard. In a while.
But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Maintenance is required.
Sure.
I mean, I keep my trimmer set to douche. That's important.
Douche. There it is.
And he also kept his set to douche clearly. So
yes.
I recognized.
Right.
And
mine's set to cool ass black guy.
Now, yeah, that I don't have that setting because smaller clippers.
That's what they say.
That's what they say.
I don't know. Got it. So yeah. So that you call that out immediately
because he didn't have any beard. You 6 months in captivity. You got a long beard.
Right. Very true. Very true. So I like that twist. I like the bit of the guy coughing and setting the
You know, the shoe, the heel bomb.
It's the old
got my heel bomb. Boom.
Boom. You know, can you explain what happened to me? And I did look away for 1 second, and forgive me as my computer dies. I did look away for 1 second, and they took those folks outside and gunned them down.
Mm-hmm.
That was the rest of the Mossad.
That was all the Mossad agents or
the
civilians,
task
whoever
the teams.
Yeah.
Okay, that's
whoever the Mossad people were.
Yeah,
yeah,
they weren't messing around.
No, they were not.
I want to get somewhat like, how do you feel about all this? You know, these storylines. I mean, the Blacklist is pretty, especially this week. Homeland last week gave us a little warning, sort of like these events have taken place in light of Paris. You know, this was shot before Paris.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah. Homeland gave that warning. I don't think the Blacklist gave that sort of warning.
Well, this when did Paris happen? Paris happened on...
Oh, that's right.
You know, this was right. Thursday. This aired before.
Thank you. We wouldn't know because we're doing a show so freaking late.
Nice job, guys.
Sorry. But I wonder, this is pretty... I mean, like, watching the show, you can't help but be reminded of all this, sort of the violence and with sort of, you know, ISIS and, you know, Syria and whatnot. And like, I mean, are you affected by this from a pop culture standpoint, Joe?
From a pop culture standpoint?
No, I mean, like, are you okay having your entertainment reflect kind of like be a hyper version of what's actually going on, and does it bother you?
Well, it's not so hyper, but
that.
But I mean, I think it's it's almost, I mean, if you view entertainment as a responsibility to some degree, sure, to reflect the culture it's a part of, then of course it has to.
Right.
And this stuff, make no mistake, I mean, this is our fault. A lot of this stuff is our fault.
Here we go.
No, it's the truth.
No, I'm not saying.
I mean, it's the truth. You know, I mean, the
whole
thing.
Here we go
on the
political hour.
No, but I mean, that's the problem. I think that, you know, I look at my Facebook feed and it's madness right now.
Right.
Everybody wants to go. Everybody wants to fight. Everybody, you know, the ISIS released that list of cities that they want to attack, and you know, at this point, it's no different than a kid saying I want to beat up somebody's dad. But it's you know, everybody's taking it so serious, and I guess I understand it, but it's. There's a complete lack of context, and it's so frustrating because there's like this leap to victimhood that most of us have, that because it's a very comfortable place and it's a very uncomplicated place, mm-hmm. and I get frustrated. I think that one thing I like about this show is it does try to kind of a little bit of the nuance of what's actually happening.
Right.
This is not a straightforward, simple thing. None of these things that are going on right now are simple.
Are you saying it shows that the blacklist gets the nuance?
No, a little bit of nuance,
okay. Only because there's some sort of dramatic narrative that gets you to sort of understand, like, and this is why we did the thing we did, even though it's sort of canned and really sort of
right.
And
it's interesting to look back on TV, you know, before the second Gulf War, and you know, a good example is True Lies, right? And mm-hmm. and how simple and how almost caricatured the Middle Eastern characters were,
sure,
from that era as opposed to today. There's a lot more subtlety. But, you know, it's a long way to go before we have any kind of a true understanding of what's really happening. Being able to be presented in pop culture, that stamps are never impossible.
By no means is the freaking blacklist.
No, no way.
That. I mean, not even Homeland. This is entertainment. I guess it's entertainment. I didn't necessarily want to, though I do, I, you know, I'm welcome. I didn't necessarily want a meet the press style dissertation from you, Joe Flippo. I mean, I understand you're trying to teach me something.
No. You understand. But I think you understand what I'm saying. And,
yes.
and I guess the frustration that I feel is that for most people, this is probably as deep as they're going to investigate this stuff,
right?
Because it's not fun.
You're okay. You're not for like, oh, we got to scrap these episodes now.
Oh, hell no. No. Not at all. I don't think so.
Okay, it's something to think about. So, in any event, we get to that whole thing. Her own brother, she captures Navabi, right? And they have the exchange about what happened. She realizes in the flashback it was you all along who set the backpack bomb, wasn't it? In the flashback, and said it was me again. Another kind of Scooby Doo sort of moment there. And it was a bit of another. I keep referencing those little TV shows. Another Batman villain moment where it's like they shoot my man, the Mossad guy, and then they're gonna shoot the sister, and they say no, we need her brain, which is, you know, saving the sister, and him, he'll be dead by the hour. How about you just pop a cap in and make sure?
Bullets are very expensive.
You just massacred a whole group outside, no problem. But the good-looking guy, you know, he's looking like he'll bleed out.
Come on, he's got to come back.
Hour and a half.
Come on, he's a co-star in 2 months. We got to bring this guy back.
He's good.
He's good, and the ladies like him.
Hey, you know, he's good. So anyway, they go off and they get her, and then they're off to the boat, and of course, who's waiting? Is my man Kris Kristofferson.
God, he's so cool. Isn't he great?
I love
when he pops up.
He pops up.
Never says a word.
Yeah, he's got the silver fox going.
Ponytail action.
He did a move. He's got the beard. Dimby's up top. Red's coming around the corner. Well. That's all I need. That's really all I need in a Blacklist episode, actually.
So good.
I love all that. Yeah.
And my wife was watching with me, and she, every now and then she'll say something. I know what that means. She's watching Dembe's action. She goes, you know, Dembe is very well cast.
That's great.
Married men. Yes, that is code for damn. That's Dembe.
Aaron Zemple. He's well cast. He knows how to grip the pistol.
They do his makeup
something
very well.
About the way he grips that thing.
Strong. firm.
He's well cast. Love it. So that was very cool. That was cool. And then Red gets to come around the corner and give his wonderful soliloquy.
Yes.
He drops that line in about my girl spinning the bottle. You know, what I would like one more crack at
so and so in the basement.
Yeah, I love that. And then poof, presto tango. We've got presto tango, presto chingo.
Yes,
he's got so Samir is forced to give up her brother. But
no, she's not forced.
Well, not forced, but she's given the choice.
Yes,
to give her brother.
And boy, was she good. Mozan, I never say her name right.
Okay,
but what a she did that just right, yeah. Man.
It hurt. She's in that tank top, well cast. Well, great wardrobe choice.
Very, very good casting.
Yes, very good casting. I would like to say that
with very good casting.
I'm a big fan of the kind of hurts. We're in full blown sausage party mode right now.
Yeah,
we definitely need
Julia next week.
Julia is fully like, you know, listening in New York, just shaking her head.
Idiots,
like, these guys, their sausage party. So she was not given the choice, but made a decision saying her brother was dead to her a long time ago. Very tough. Then, so he hauls him away, puts him in the trunk, gives him to Mr. Bellini, Peach Bellini.
Yes, his name is Gallego.
Presumably in exchange for...
the meeting of some sort that's going to happen.
That's right. And then, I know we gotta get there's one more thing I gotta get to, which we cannot escape the last two things, is... one thing that's really sticking in my craw, too, I love the other bit, the other tropey bit where Cooper calls Wrestler, and they're on their way to get Lizzie Keen and Tom in the restaurant. And Wrestler's like, oh, Cooper, good to hear from you. Hey, listen, I can't talk now. I'm on my way to get Lizzie Keen. Wait, there's something you should hear. I'm sure there is. I just got to go right now and get Lizzie Keen. But wait, you should. I got to go. Click. No?
How long have they got? How much with commercial breaks? 40? Was it 40, 43 minutes? 40, oh. Is it 46 minutes they've got to tell the whole story?
I'm going in hot, sirens blazing to go get Lizzie Keen, but I can answer the phone hey Harold.
Every now and then, hey, man. There's a shortcut. That was a shortcut,
right?
And you know it paid off. I'm going to tell you who paid it off. Wrestler paid it off. Diego Klanoff paid that off when he kicked the gnome.
I laughed out loud.
F you, Cooper. Yeah. I'm kicking your gnome.
He's like, Cooper's, I have to live here. And he's like, oh, yeah.
You know what? Your gnome. that made the whole thing work.
That was amazing. And we need that little bit of a testosterone moment when he comes in. Like, hey, Cooper. I had to like, what are you doing here?
I don't trust you. That was good. That was good. I bought it. I was good. In.
Just a little bit of less robot from wrestling would be nice.
Well, that's why he kicked the gnome. I was so excited.
A little less Captain America Boy Scout, like, you know, like, I don't trust you.
That when he kicked the gnome, though, that was come on, that was big for him. That was big. Everybody else, that's nothing. For him, that was a big thing.
Then he goes back and he's just not sure about anything anymore. He's not sure which way is up, which way is down.
I'll tell you what he's sure about.
Two words. Tank to the top, baby.
Bang.
He's
sure. Good casting.
He's sure about that. That's a twist.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming.
I did not see that coming.
And I'll do you one better, if you'll pardon the term there. They didn't make it in the office. They got to somebody's house.
Oh, nice turn of phrase.
So they, you know what I'm saying? So that was, not only was it like, hey, there's a hot moment there, we're going to drive somewhere.
Yeah, we're
going
to get in the car and drive to someone's house and then make it happen.
So, I mean, for a rom, that's worse. Yes. So it's like, it happened in the moment. We've been drinking, blah, blah. No. Everybody was stone cold sober. We got in the car. We drove to my house and we bonked all night. That's how it went.
I love the idea of the Aram.
Oh, he's going to be devastated.
I love it so much. What else do we have? I think that's... oh, so then we have that bit. And then we have the bit with Lizzie King at the end. And we have the director and Solomon.
Yes, some bad stuff is coming the director's way.
We had the chairman, as she's credited on IMDb, kicking the director out.
We did that, yeah.
In that cool moment of like, you know, you're out. I thought she was a bad guy, actually. I thought she's part of the cabal.
I don't think she's
part of the cabal.
She might be. I mean, we don't know.
I know, but I do. She might be. But I like her now. I
mean, yeah,
I
that was great.
Her. I like her and my girl. I don't want to call her Flavor. That's the meaning, but. You know,
I didn't call her that.
I'm just saying. That would have been racist if you called her that.
That would have been bad.
I don't know if it would have been racist, but it would have been dumb. It's still dumb that I called her Flavor.
Wouldn't have been good. I'll tell you that.
I did an impression and everything. I liked all that. So, yeah, man. We're setting up for the fall finale where it all comes down. Now, Kerakut sung, right? Like, Kerakut's got the info.
Now, allegedly. We haven't heard it.
Okay,
we didn't hear him say anything. All we have is Tom at this point saying that Kerakut's agreed to confess to everything.
Yeah, Kerakut on one side. We got whatever my man Red has got from Bellini Boy.
But again, we have a narrator I don't necessarily trust. We only have it from
Unreliable
Tom.
Unreliable narrator.
Right. So we only have it from Tom. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know that I buy it.
All right, so we'll see what happens in the fall finale. Let's get into predictions and unfortunately get out of here.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
All right, I predict that Aram is going to... one of two things is going to happen. I predict there'll be some crying. I predict that he's going to punch Wrestler in the face. And I predict that he's going to have to he may have to leave for a little while. I think
Aram is going to definitely take a swing at wrestler.
There's no question, and he may disappear for a bit. He might go gonzo.
That was sweet that he cried.
He cried already. He might cry twice.
I think he's going to take a swing at the wrestler.
No question.
He's pretty loyal to Lizzie Keene too.
Mm.
So I don't know. Poor Rom. Rom needs to get. He needs to get a gal.
He needs to get some something going on.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Poor Rom. His bike and his helmet. And the
but that's
thing.
That's TV though, because you know in real life, Rom is probably having a tough time getting. But our guy, you know, Amir is not having any trouble finding ladies. He's doing just fine.
He's doing just fine. Yeah. Yeah. I predict that we're gonna see. I don't know. I'm coming with Julie. I wish Julie was here because I think we're gonna see the Lizzie's mother. I think it's going to pop up somehow.
Yeah.
And maybe even in the fall finale or a hint of her. Something's going to happen. We have a twist because we're going on, after this, we're going on break till after the Super Bowl.
That's true.
No more blacklist till January.
Is it January?
January.
No, January.
All right. So I think I want to see a Rostova.
You want some Rostova action?
I do.
All right.
I just got to say, like, one last thing. Mr. Solomon. Great stuff in the Chinese restaurant.
So good,
super charming. Great stuff with the wrestler. Great stuff across the board. This is a great character.
Absolutely, and far too young to have seen all the things apparently he's seen. But yeah. I buy it. I'm in.
Fish hooks. All right. That's all we got, folks. It's just the two of us, guys.
That's it.
The unfortunate.
Where can we find you, Joe Braswell?
You can find me on the Twitter and the Instagram, and maybe the Periscope. Which I'm going to be more active at all three starting now. At Joe K. Braswell. At Joe K. Braswell. Thank you for all those who tweet at me and check me out. And where can we find you?
On the Twitters at Joe Flippo, JoeFlippo.
Okay. And you can find Julia Carely at
JuliaCarely.
That's right. On Twitter and Instagram. Thank you so much for joining us. We very much apologize for being late. Thank you for hanging in with us. We will see you next week.
We'll see you in 2 days.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only. Do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.